Hello and welcome into the So Rare Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on So Rare. Today to talk about card values and really just trying to clarify a bunch of things that I say on this channel that sometimes gets a little misunderstood. And sometimes that misunderstanding is because of how I word things or how I kind of frame what I'm trying to say. Because sometimes I want to say something and it just doesn't come out the right way. And I don't realize that until later. And I got some feedback this week on a bunch of stuff. One of which was that I constantly say over and over that card prices don't matter, which I do believe is something I have said. And I have to remember that there are a lot of people who watch this show regularly. And so they may know what I mean in certain instances, not even necessarily on the card prices, card values thing. But sometimes I just need to clarify things. And so this is basically going to be a show clarifying things that I've said before. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. We've got Bob Franklin, Toby, and Jorge. Smells like the weekend. Let's go from Portugal. Those three on the podium, congratulations. Greetings, sunny greetings from Scotland from Zwed. Oh, this is going to be a tough one. Zwedgendashki. Best I can do. That's right, Mike. Today's a serious show. There's going to be no fun today. It's all serious. This is So Rare we're talking about. It's not about fun. This is about serious business. Anyway, Michael, hello all. Never been in before. Listen every day as a pod. Popped in to say thank you. Love the content. Love the game. Michael, welcome. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for listening to all those podcasts. And yeah, appreciate you coming in saying hi. Of all days, it's the best one. Friday, we're... Sorry, usually we have fun on Fridays, but I don't know about today. We'll see. RG11, hello. Good luck to everyone this game week. Hope your team smash. Agreed with all of that. Major NFT, after a few years, finally smelling the fresh air of a podium. TGIF, LFG, woo! Let's go. Congratulations on that. Nixon says, card values don't matter because money isn't real, which, is any of this real? Are JPEGs real? I don't know. Kev Heard, what's up? Ryan, excited to be here. I'm excited you're here as well. Novelty, very ambitious title today. I don't know if it's ambitious. And also speaking of ambition, if you look at my lineups this weekend, not a lot of ambition this week, but maybe lots of it next week. We'll see. Stefan, hello. John Andrews, what's up? Philly Dilly, just blame my misunderstandings on Black or PSU. That's, yeah, we can agree to do that. Soroso, what's up? Parrot Press, welcome in. Quinny, my man. If anybody didn't catch Quinny and Harry on the deadline stream today, you just missed such great stuff. Like everyone should watch that show. I don't know why. Like I realize that not everyone has like the 2 hours before the deadline to do that. But just do it. Just do it. Red or Dead, what's up? Ian, what's a podium? Yeah, who knows? Steph, I've always said to her, size doesn't matter. She never agreed, though. I'm not sure what that's implying, but anyway. Anyone else treated senior specials as basically Academy Premium? Toby said, no ambition with a rainbow. Rami 100 is incoming. Rami is ambitious this week. That's it. Red or Dead, I'm with you. Forza St. Pauli, at least for a clean sheet this week. Kev Heard, disappointing intro after yesterday. Yeah, and Sora Malta thinks I just got out of bed. This is what I look like after I do lineups. I've been up for 3 straight days just trying to figure out what to do. I mean, I've looked worse. Anyway, Kev Heard, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do the a new intro for every show. So we'll see. Maybe I'll just surprise you guys. We'll get into it. Or we'll see what happens in the future. All right, I want to talk about card values because I really don't want to forget that. And that's just going to end up going into a number of different things. One of which I think is going to be me trying to justify why I say certain things and that I'm not just like some random idiot on the internet talking about whatever they think that they know of. Anyway. Sora Malta said, I think the velvet top is a beautiful look. This is literally just a black cotton t-shirt, like long sleeve t-shirt, but it does look kind of nice on the screen. So velvet, how about that? As Mike says, yeah, if you guys could hit the like button, that'd be much appreciated. Just makes me feel good. Anyway, Mike Bassin, Laird the Trolley. I don't know what this means. Mike, can you translate that into American for me? That would be helpful. Anyway, so card values don't matter. That's what I want to talk about today, because it's something I have said before, and I think it's starting to get heard by people who don't understand the origin of the thought. And so therefore it gets kind of, like I said, misunderstood, or they don't have the, troller, not trolley. So card values obviously matter in this game. And one of the reasons why they matter is because it allows us to understand, if we're good at this game, that if the value of our cards are worth more than what we paid for them, then yeah, we're good at this game. It means we're returning from them. However, the way that we return from these cards is very different today than it was 2 years ago, 1 year ago. And we did a show on this channel a few weeks ago with Surfula. Was Gator Guy on that show? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was both of them. Although now that I say that, I don't remember. But anyway, basically that the new gameplay, particularly with in-season competitions that pay cash, the way that we extract value from our cards is different than it was before, or at least the priority is different. That instead of buying cards and having them all appreciate and then we can sell them for more, really the focus on card returns needs to be on rewards, whether that's cash rewards or winning cards and selling those cards, or using those cards to win more card, whatever. What we win from our cards is our real return now. And that's not to say that cards will always go down, but a lot of them are going to. And once you buy a card, theoretically, so this is where it gets a little tricky, because this idea, I think there was a tweet somebody sent, I apologize because I don't remember who it was, but it was showing the price paid for an Erling Haaland at the beginning of the Premier League season, and then what it was now. And it was basically 50% today. And the tweet was like a classic, how can you have a game where these cards are worth so much less? And that was a very clear misunderstanding of how the game, and particularly the game economy, works now. That it was a new season card, and at the beginning of the season, you have a full season of utility in season competitions to win cash and get a return from those cards. And so there's almost nothing that Erling Haaland can do between August and April that would make his card price significantly increase without a significant increase in demand for that card, which is lots and lots of new users. And Toby's saying that tweet was really dumb, but I don't think it's dumb. Like, I think I understand why people get upset about it. And on the flip side, I think they need to understand like why it happened. And it didn't happen because like, oh, So Rare sucks, and everything they're doing is like killing card values. Like, that's not the reason. And so that's where we have to go. And so Ryan, it's funny you bring this up. Ryan said it's like selling a used car and complaining you paid more when you bought it new. So I wanted to use that analogy actually, except there really aren't that many instances where you can sell a used car for more than you paid for it. Like, it happens. I actually had a friend who did that with a Tesla. Like, he owned it for like 4 years and then sold it for more than he paid for it, which is crazy. But that's kind of the example. It's like the more you use a car, the less future utility it has, because a car has a lifespan. Just like these cards have lifespans. And the more you use them, meaning the more play games that the player plays, like the fewer they will have in the future. And so the way we need to start thinking about this game is you're buying pieces to play the game. And those pieces generally will deteriorate in value over time because they have less utility. And we see that particularly strongly in the in-season, like the new season cards, because you can use those in specific competitions that allow you to win cash. And you have to use more of them than the classic cards. And yes, the new season cards will then become classic cards at some point, but those classic cards won't be able to compete for the cash like the new season cards do. And yes, you can have one or two in certain contests, but like mostly it's new season cards. And so the idea is you're buying cards at some point. And the more you use it, it will likely become less valuable because it becomes less attractive for other people to buy it. Now, I don't want it to sound like all cards do this, because it doesn't. When we have players who may not play that much, you know, when you buy the card, theoretically they have less utility because they don't play that much. And then they get put into a bigger role, you know, a backup goalkeeper, some U23 player who comes up and then finally gets a starting job. The utility changes and therefore their value changes. And so that's where we see card prices, you know, certain players' card prices go up. But the expectation that the dominant players in the game will always go up just because they're great players is misguided and is no longer the game. And so if you are somebody who is buying elite, buying any cards really, but even let's just put it in the camp of the elite cards, the price that you pay, basically what you valued that card as the day that you bought it or traded it, whatever. Once you have that card, the value of it, the resale value, doesn't matter. Because all you really should be thinking about is how do I win back what I paid? Not can I sell this for more than I paid? So it's not that the value doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But like what you paid is irrelevant to what you can win. And obviously you want to win more than what you paid. And so the winning is part of that value, part of that value analysis, excuse me. But we really need to start to recognize why card prices go down within the context of this game. And the more people who start to understand that, the better I think the game economy will feel. And obviously, if all card values are going down, then the value of those rewards are going down. So now you have to win more often. But that's the deal. That's the game. And we talked previously on this channel about like sunk cost fallacy and why people really struggle to like sell cards for less than what they paid. And I think at its core, SoRare is a fantasy sports platform. And so we play fantasy football and the cards are the pieces we use in that game. And yes, we can resell those, but that doesn't mean you're always going to get back what you paid, because you've used the card for 6 months, 4 years, however long. And so the card that you bought and the utility that it represented at that time is way different than when you're selling the card. And I'm not here telling everyone to like go sell cards at a loss, but we need to start really appreciating that utility. And this isn't new. Like utility's always been the big part of this game. So why U23 cards were always more expensive, because you could use them in new in different competitions. And most people just kind of ignore that because those players are younger, like you'll have a longer time span of being able to use those cards, not even in U23 competitions. And so we need to analyze further what utility really means and understand why cards go down. And so once you buy a card, the primary focus, if you want to like make your money back, should be on winning back either cash or cards that you can turn into cash or ETH, and not the value of that one card and whether its price will be maintained in the future. Sorry, let me catch up on the chat here. And Mike, it's funny you said this. So using the car example, unless it's a classic car, but most people, and I'm not saying everybody, but most people tend not to buy a new car and hold it until it's a classic car and then sell it. Adrian FT said, anyone looking at their crypto portfolio will see losses in most cases from 2 to 3 years. Yeah. RG11, do you think people misinterpret utility versus oversupply and lack of demand for prices trending down for multiple years now? So I don't want to say that like supply and demand don't play a role. Obviously, they play gigantic roles. But I think what a lot of people, I think looking at past prices, which were heavily like during a boom, the Gary V boom, and there was like one other one after that, really had nothing to do with the game. It was just a lot of people coming in and being like, oh, these could be worth more, let me buy them. And it was like, oh, wait, if you think that's good, I'll buy it. And like prices went up, had nothing to do with SoRare. And I said that to somebody, I forget who I was talking to. I don't think it was on stream. But I think one of the very weird things about the SoRare economy and essentially SoRare's revenues over the last few years is that the most valuable time for SoRare, like that huge boom, came in as a result of something completely unrelated to SoRare. That we were all stuck at home. We were all given these checks, giving us more money, and we didn't have anywhere to spend it. And we were all at home and this NFT boom, and all of a sudden everybody had all this money. And so we spent it on stupid things like JPEGs. And that had nothing to do really with SoRare. It was just that they had a product that people thought was cool. And they were like, yeah, I'll buy that. And the same people who were buying Bored Apes or CryptoPunks and amongst that, those groups of people who were really into NFTs saw this football game and they were like, that's kind of cool. Let me buy some football cards. And there are so many accounts on SoRare of people who bought during that boom and just left because they were like, all right, I bought my thing and I'll just wait. And then it all went to shit and we had nothing to do with it and we haven't seen them since. But on the flip side, once we got out of that and had like a worldwide recession and people were like, man, maybe I don't want to spend so much money on JPEGs anymore. So they stopped buying SoRare cards, which again, really has nothing to do with SoRare. And so it's this weird aspect that that essentially the two biggest movements in the market, up and down, really had nothing to do with what SoRare were doing. It was just, hey, we have a bunch of money and we want to buy your stuff. And then it was like, oh, we don't have any money anymore and we're going to go somewhere else. It had nothing to do with game dynamics. It had nothing to do with the scoring matrix. It had nothing to do with the secondary. Well, obviously the secondary market was affected, but there was nothing SoRare did that caused a boom. And there was nothing that SoRare did that caused this significant dip that we've been in. And obviously they changed the game a little bit in order to address certain things to try to make it a little more stable. But like the drastic changes in the market had so little to do with what SoRare could control. And so now we're kind of in this period where there's a little more stability. And if it's not stability, it's clearer to see why card prices move up and down. And now this push with in-season competition to win cash, we get a clear idea of of the utility timeline, that we know that a new season card in August has peak in-season utility for the European leagues, that is. And in April, they don't. And so a similar, you know, an Erling Haaland in August is not worth the same as an Erling Haaland in April for the very clear reason that the utility is not there. And that's something So Rare can control. And that's why we see the market as it is. And now you're like, oh, well, So Rare is doing this thing where they're like purposely tanking card prices over time. It's like, no, but kind of. I mean, they're not tanking them. We all decide how much the cards go for because we all buy them. And I'll talk about this on a show sometime next week. But I do think that the first cards of the new European season, like in August or July, whenever they come, I think the prices will be absolutely absurd, like truly absurd. But if people pay it, then that's what they pay. Kev said, it sounds like a misleading tweet without context, pretty simple depreciation at the end of a player season. So we think it's simple, but I think that there are plenty of people on the platform who bought cards early and now see their value. And they were like, So Rare screwed me. And it's like, no, you've had months to try to get that money back. And if you didn't get it back, there are probably reasons for that. Kev said, I did that too with a car during COVID. Low mileage as we were on lockdown. It was a Gary V boom for used cars. Yeah. Malky said, I know he has one more season, but some people might be cognizant now that Haaland won't be U23 for much longer. I would normally go for U22 or less for buying players for that competition. I'm not even sure how many people play Haaland in U23. Let's see. Sorry, catching up again. Robert Turner says, howdy, buddy. I sold up and bought mainly MLS. I'm expecting these to go down, but you never know. So, I mean, that's a great example. Like if you have a Lucho Acosta that you bought a month ago in front of the big MLS special weekly, like I think that's going to be lower as time goes on. But like, at least now we understand that. And I think going into the Euro season, like the next one, it's good that more people will know that that's kind of how it works. And so when you're looking at these card prices in August and you're like, man, that's a lot of money. Yes, I do have 9 months to make it back. And it gives us an idea of like, can I make this money back? And that's the game. That's how you're good at the game, is that you make the money back that you put in. And so I think as much as we don't think that the market is stable, it's understandable. And I think that's fine. That's fine. Philly Dilly said, So Rare kind of is tanking card prices by design, but it's literally by design. I wouldn't say that they're tanking them, but we do have, like, they've made the utility timeline clearer. And that's a benefit for anybody. Sora Malta said, the only thing So Rare are guilty of is oversupply and lack of adaptation, which can be attributed to their lack of experience. I think they have learned from previous slow actions. So I don't think, I really struggle with the oversupply thing, because I actually think that they undersupply the cards that everybody wants, but obviously they can't just mint all the players we want. We have to have the bad players in here too. The whole, like, they're doing too many cards, you know, they're minting too many cards, they're selling too many of them. Like I'm out on that argument. Like So Rare slowing down their only revenue stream is not an option. And so everybody who's like, they have to slow down, like they don't, and they're not going to. Let's see. Philly Dilly, also, you could probably use rewards now to properly value cards. I think this is why Top Shot never came out with a fantasy game, would have completely tanked them. I think, I'm not sure they had a license for it, really. But we'll see. Halogen, do you think transfer windows where they front load card supply would help fix the card value problem? For example, one in August and one in January. So I don't, Jvic said, as long as, unless they're minting 1,001 limited Mbappes in a season, they are not oversupplying. I think oversupply versus supplying the full mint is kind of a different conversation, but I'm kind of agreeing with Jvic. Like, we know what the max is. It's just that all of a sudden there's just so many more players and everyone's like, oh, this seems like too many cards, but that's what the deal is. Like, that's the game. Sorry. So Halogen, this front loading the card supply. So the Euro season is going to be way different than what we saw with MLS and J League and K League, because MLS launched before the season started, but we were also, weren't we in like an international break or something? Like, there was weird timing that allowed them to not have to, oh no, that's what it was. So the big one's going to be next Euro season with the Premier League. Well, really, Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, and Champions. That if those in-season competitions are to launch on the first, you know, match day for all of those leagues, like, we need those cards ahead of time. And then it's, you know, how many do they actually put out at the beginning? And I do think it makes sense to front load them. As you say, I don't think only selling cards in January and August is a good idea, because like, what happens when other players get joined and then the auctions get kind of weird. And if you don't get the cards in January, in August, are you just out of luck for the next 4 months? But I do think that they will, I mean, they usually front load, but not to the degree that I think they have to. Like, when a new league launches, the auctions are just flooded with those cards. And so I think we'll see that again. I think we're going to see a lot more instant buys. And for the premiums that people are paying for instant buy, and then when one sells, the next one goes higher. Like, I think we're going to see, like I said, I think we're going to see some absurd prices that, like, an auction goes for 25, let's call it $25. And then the instant buys set at like 38. And somebody snap buys it. And the next one goes to 48 and somebody buys that. And then it goes to 61 and someone buys that. And it's like, the auction just went for 35 or whatever my example was. Why is somebody paying 61? And like, they want the card right away. And then that person is going to have to, hopefully before they buy at 61, they say, will I be able to make this money back? And when inevitably they don't, and in August or April, they're like, this is bullshit. I spent $61 for this card and now it's worth $3. And it's like, you should have known this going in. But telling people like they should have known this when they're new is not that fun. And so I think the game is easier to understand now, to be honest, for new users. Like, yeah, you buy these new cards and you have a season to get your money back. And if you don't make it back by then, you can still use them in the classic competitions and use, you know, to win new cards. But I think that part is actually easier. Philly Dilly, I think the value problem will solve itself if Sower sticks with this structure for a couple of seasons. We might not be thrilled with where value lands, but it will stabilize as value is determined. One thing that Surface to Air Missile always says is, like, he just wants a stable market. He doesn't want one that's like all up or all down. I mean, we probably all want all up, but just some stability so that you can understand. And that doesn't mean that card prices don't move. But if we do have the stability that I feel like had at some point, where it's like this time of year, April, European card prices are down because utility is down. And then it picks back up in, you know, mid to late June, July, getting ready for the new season. And then the new season cards kind of pick it up a little bit. And if we were able to understand why card prices are moving, it makes it easier. And a large influx of users at one time actually makes that harder, because now we have something other than utility that is determining card prices. It's this like huge increase in demand, which, great for everyone who's selling cards, bad for anyone who wants to buy. Okay. Every card goes to zero and always had. It's just how much you can get out before it does. Yeah. And I think the new structure makes it easier for us to understand that. Josh Logan, hello. I don't recognize that name. Apologies if you're always here. Surely front load is a good idea. From their point of view, sell when the utility is maxed out and demand is the highest. Then we know supply is low going forward, so subsequent auctions maintain more value. You nailed it, Josh. Absolutely nailed it. And frankly, this was the everybody always gave them a hard time. I forget what. I think it was Make It a Double-Double was talking about this. I think it was the episode with Stish. I'm fairly certain, which was an awesome episode. I know I say they're all great, but that conversation with Stish was really, really good. But they were talking about how there were times where, you know, some player would have like an absurd streak. The Julian Alvarez example was what they were using, where he had like 4 or 6 goals or something. And then they auctioned his unique and everyone's like, oh man, you're just like trying to maximize your profits by selling this card when they're at their, when this player just had a huge game. A, of course they are. But B, people want that card now. People love buying cards after players have huge games or players are on like these great runs and people want those cards and you want to sell into demand. You don't want to sell into low demand. So if a player is going to have a huge game or someone goes on a huge purple patch, of course you're going to want to sell those cards. A, because you're more people are interested in buying that card. And that's when you should make money. You want to sell your product when people want it, not when people don't. Like, this is how it works. Anyway. GS said, oversupply. There's no such thing as oversupply, but it's just a lack of user growth. However, the game is not working as it is now. They need changes. I mean, we just made changes. But I mean, unless that's what you meant. There's also this, like, lack of user growth is not true. It's significantly slower. But there are more users. Like the charts are very simple to understand. Just because it's not growing like this doesn't mean it's not growing. Rub, can we talk about having both direct purchase and auction? After a while, the auction becomes a mechanism that only brings prices down mechanically. Why do auctions bring prices down? I think you can make the argument that auctions bring prices down as much as they push them up. It just depends on when it when that sale happens. Kev Hurd said, it's a tricky one. I agree. It's not attractive to tell users at the front end, but when they see the prices drop once they are in, they will call it a scam, et cetera, because no one had educated them. Yeah, I think education is a big part of it and is one of the biggest negatives to SoRare relying on like word of mouth marketing or content creators explaining how the games work or how the game works, excuse me, because you have plenty of them who are like, I made so this much money on SoRare, or I won a $10,000 prize using this lineup that I paid $8 for. And there's very little explanation of how the cards work. And frankly, that kind of content's really boring. Like, it's really tough to do entertaining how to play SoRare videos, particularly when you have to explain that card prices might go down. Because if you're, so how about this? It's very difficult to explain why card prices go down while also trying to sell someone on playing this game. So all people are like focusing on is like card prices go down. I bought this card for $100. Now it's worth $50. So why do you play this game? Oh, because I won $400 with that $100 card. And it's like, let's focus on that. How do you win at this game? Philly Dilly said, as soon as this season ends, SoRare should immediately start auctioning next season. New design, current picks, which will update when new picks are available. So I don't agree. Like, what's the reason to sell? So going back to that, going back to the selling when people want cards, nobody wants to buy Real Madrid cards for the 2024-25 season in June, May. Like, they want to buy them when they can use them. Like, the week before the season starts is when everyone is the most fired up. And so that's when people will pay the most for them. Like, that's why you don't do it right away. Josh said, to add to that comment, if supply is low later in the season, your rewards will be more valuable too. So I don't know if that's entirely true, because theoretically, there's still like seller supply. It's just more secondary market than primary, but I kind of get it. Major NFT, do you think one solution is more price transparency in bid screen on the cards? Average value, lowest and highest. Sometimes you don't have time to do as much research in an auction closing fast. Average value. That's why you use Solidata. So I'll show you guys something in case you don't use this feature. To be honest, I don't check auctions very much, so I don't use this feature much, but here you go. If you go to the market tab and you just go to live market for football, these are all of the ongoing auctions right now. So let's say I'm going to use some time here. All right. So we are actually updating this fairly soon because of what I'll show you. But if, let's say you want this Juni Ito card, right? It's got 2 minutes left, 230. It's currently at $9.35. The floor is $12.16. And the average value for the last 3 days is $11.32. So we are working to make it so that we have an old season, new season split. However, if you hover over the floor price and you click it, you'll be able to see all of the Juni Ito limiteds that are on the market. And I say this, and of course, it's like not loading as I try to do it. Nope, here we go. So these are all the Juni Ito cards on the market. And actually, as you see, new season is the floor, which like there's only a handful of games left. But these are all of the Juni Ito cards on the market. And all you had to do was click that. And so you can see for others, I guess I should pick an MLS one, but like if the new season is different. But additionally, and we show this three-day average, if you click the three-day average, you will also get the price graph. And there you can track exactly what he's been selling for recently, and you can tell if the auction price is good. So we see that this $9.35 is below the floor and below the recent average. And if you're like, okay, that's a card I want to bid on, all you have to do is click on the price and it takes you right to the auction. And there you go. And you can just bid right away. Simple as that. I have no idea if that's what you meant, Major NFT, but it allowed me to do that. Allowed me to show that off, which is always fun. Toby said, auctions only bring prices down if they're inflated by crazy instant buys. Auctions are needed to stabilize the market. Yeah. So Rub said, because you only buy at auction up to the buy now sale price. If the auction goes above the buy now, then you just buy that one instead. So it essentially has a downward pressure on price. I wouldn't say it's a downward pressure, but maybe it doesn't have unlimited upside. But also not every player has a buy now option. Quinny said, if you've ever bought real cards of anything, none of this is shocking. New editions, runs, seasons, metas happen everywhere, really. Yeah. Soramalta said, content creators present SoRare as a quick win, high gamble kind of game, which is totally the wrong look for SoRare because it creates a quick turnover when we need stable users. I think that's an unfair generalization, but you probably didn't mean every content creator. Halogen said, I was really disappointed with the lack of promo at the start of this season. This season, I'm absolutely sure they'll go hard. Yeah, so I agree with that. The biggest difficulty that SoRare has at the beginning of the seasons is not having the new cards ready. And so like when everybody signs up for FPL, that's the game. The game is ready. It's ready to go. And when SoRare, when the season starts in August and we have to wait until September for cards, that month is really like that month into the season is really important because it's so every week fewer and fewer people are interested. How about that? Mike said, also, why would you buy a current season photo of a player as a next season card if you know that they're transferring clubs? Yeah, that's another, yeah. Sam, we are going to do this. We're going to put different price alerts for Classic and in season. It's an it's an extremely complicated process. So, but we absolutely are working on that. Stylish One, it is also hard to understand return made by each card, because what about the rewards won by rewards won with the original card? Yeah, the accounting is really difficult. And it's just, it that's something that just people don't think about. And because it gets too complicated, you're like, oh yeah, I use this, I bought these five cards and they won another card, or they won two cards. And then I use those two cards to replace two of these and those won cards. So does the first card get a return? Ah, it's too complicated. Let me just complain that the original two cards are now worth 25%. Gia said, so from collect, train, scout, research, own your game to, hey, everybody, just buy new cards all the time. There's not enough incentive for old card owners to reinvest in new cards. I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of people who do that, who reinvest to new cards every year. Quinny, I don't, what bit should I clip? I'm a few minutes back on the chat. So, Mike Bassett, I knew everything bar floor price, bringing up all the secondary listings. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. See, I'm glad I showed it then. There you go, guys. And again, in the, hopefully in the relatively near future, I don't want to say I don't want to say soon, but on this page, or like on the, this works on the, on offers as well. Actually, I don't know if this, yeah, you can't click on that yet, but yeah, same thing with the, with offers. You can see all the ones that are on the market. But yeah, we will have different, in season versus classic season prices here. So next, hopefully soon, if you have this, Georgi Petrovich, if it's an old season card, it will show the old season floor and the old season average, not everything, or like Coble, who is a new card. So we're getting there. Like I said, it's a lot. Major NFT, not everyone uses server data, but they should. Completely agree. But I guess that might be the issue for those complaining. And if I paid $26 on Ito, that would be on the buyer. Yeah. Sora Malta. Oh, the look. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Sora Malta previously was referring to the look what I've won on Sora videos. Yeah. So it's a very difficult position for content creators, because those are the videos that people want to watch. And the videos of, hey, this is how you really understand Sora. Nobody wants to watch those. And if you're a content creator, you kind of want to create content that people watch. Because for the people who are reliant on views and Google ads and making money that way, you have to create content that people want to watch. And they're just, it's a catch 22, basically. I can afford to not, to do all of the boring stuff. So here we are. Kev heard said the lack of UK marketing is shocking. So, Kev, would you consider that the Premier League tweeted about SoRare yesterday to their 40 million? I don't know how many people follow Fantasy Premier League on, what is it, Fantasy PL? What is their Twitter? Is it literally Fantasy Premier League? What's the Premier League's Twitter account? Fantasy Premier League Twitter. Official FPL, of course. 5.9 million. And they tweeted about Sora the other day. When was that? Yesterday? 2 days ago? La Liga does it. Like, that's marketing. And it's marketing to people who are interested in fantasy football. I'm like scrolling through. Oh, because the game week deadline was today. Of course, they have a whole bunch of stuff. But it's stuff like that. I don't know. Josh Logan, do we actually have faith that Sora will get the front loading right? Promo ahead of season and new cards out in time. So much depends on that, and they consistently under deliver. So I think it's unfair to say they consistently underdeliver, but I mean, does it matter if we have faith in them or not? We could have all the faith in the world or none, and it has nothing to do with whether they'll deliver or not. So we just have to wait to see if they'll deliver. Major NFT said the early content I saw explained on buying. The early content I saw explained on buying to the season ebb and flow. Maybe it should be part of Sober onboarding. I mean, Quinny's got a ton of videos that totally explain how it works. And you're just kind of like, wait, what is this? And like Quinny has a video for it. Every question you ever have, Quinny has a video for it. So go check it out. Quinny 3001. Arthur, are you happy with the prize pool update today? I thought it was great. I really did. The Juni eat a bit. Thank you, Quinny. I should do that. I thought the prize pool update was fantastic because it completely addressed what everybody was complaining about, that there was no incentive to go to D1. Everybody wants to play the lower divisions and that we feel like you should strive for the top. And I think what they did does that. Yeah. And we'll just see how it works. Mike said, what marketing promo do you think they should do for the new Euro season? What do you think they will do, including ambassador usage? I don't know. I'm not really a marketing guy. I don't know. Sorrelto, but you're creating content so that you get views, not to the benefit of SoRare. So SoRare relying on content creators for getting those highly viewed videos is not actually beneficial, in my opinion. Yeah, I think it's like I said, the what people want to watch doesn't necessarily help them at SoRare. And so if you are somebody who got into the game and you're like, oh, I really want to be good at this and really understand it, there is content out there that explains it all. But it's also the stuff that has like the least amount of views because people see like, I won an Erling Haaland. And everyone's like, yeah, I'll watch that. And it ignores that it's, you know, somebody from 4 years ago who, you know, bought five champion Euro players for $8 because ETH was at $3 and they just happened to join early. And then they won Haaland and they were like, oh, that sounds fun. Anyway. Philly Dilly, does the prize pool update only apply to rare and limiteds and super rare? It would drastically reduce the number of loot boxes. I'll be honest, I didn't see much in super rare and unique, so I'm not sure a lot changed. Kev heard Quinny's onboarding videos helped me and were brilliant. So rare should advertise Quinny instead. Yeah, I mean, the hardest working guy in so rare. He's like, honestly though, if you ever have like a question, there is a video on Quinny's channel that explains it all. Toby said, I noticed when looking through the divisions today that they already balanced divisions a lot in the in-season comps. Yeah, it does. Like, I think they're doing what they told us they were going to do. They were going to let it play out a little bit, listen to feedback, and make any changes. And it's exactly what they did. And now we play with the new one a little bit. And if there are any changes from there, like they'll do it. That's literally what this transition period is for, so that it's all right in August when all the new users come. If they come, who knows? All right, I caught up on the chat. I talked about the value stuff. Seriously, everybody should go over and subscribe to Quinny's channel. What do you want to talk about now? Or do we want to keep going with this? Oh, I will say, so about this prize pool update, which I feel bad about, sort of. So the new update makes you think you really should be in Division One. And so what that did to me for this game week is made me completely avoid Division One. Because the new breakdown starts next game, like next weekend. There are there any midweek? Hold on. Are there any midweek comps? I know there's a European night, so I assume that there are no Oh, there's Contender. Interesting. But basically, if I had a Division One in this current game week, a Division One entry, I didn't enter it strictly because I didn't want to get relegated. And what I want to do is get more lineups into Division One. So like you see here, it's just like 3, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, more twos and threes, and then the non-divisional lineups. But I'm using this week to get into Division One and then domination. Toby said, it's excellent. We need to credit Sora when they do the good things to balance out the loud negative voices in the community. Yeah. And Sam is right. Yeah. Don't just subscribe to Quinny's channel. Go become a member. I've been a member for how long? 2 years? It's been a while. I wonder if I can easily find that. Membership. Member for 2 years, 5 months, and 25 days. Whoa. Sorry. Toby said, how is their contender? I have exactly one player in the whole of my gallery in the midweek. Let's see. Do they tell us like the games anywhere? I know who will tell us. Is there J League next week? Oh, contenders. Now, some of these don't count, but like this one will. Boca. Oh, we have like Argentina playoffs. Oh, Estudiantes, Boca, that's not good. Yeah, J-League, little Serie B, Chinese Super League, then we're packed. Oh, yeah, little midweek Na Sang Ho, let's go. There's probably not even that many. Well, I guess, K-League, probably like before the weekend, San Freche midweek. Okay. Oh, Gamba. I haven't even looked at my lineup, so let's go. K-League's all up in the midweek. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Let's go. Nicola, he's going to concede at some point, I'm sure, anyway. What do you got, Philly Dilly? For what it's worth, I don't like reducing the pros and rels. I kind of like the idea of those being very fluid. They might still be fluid, but it just felt a little too much every game week. Like, it was a bummer in Division One. Like, if you had one bad score, it was like, you're out. And Sean has always, or DNP, Sean's always described that as like a double punishment, because not only do you get nothing from the game week, you also get relegated next week, like for next week. So that's it. So, we have it next week. It didn't change much for me, but I was talking to PSU fans about it, and he was like, he basically took everything out of Division One that he had this week. I don't know if he actually ended up doing it, but the risk of getting relegated from Division One was so much greater than the benefit of just not entering Division One and making sure you were in Division One next week. And for them to announce that like an hour before the deadline was not ideal for some people. I didn't care, but I did have Division One lineups and decided to just not play them this week because I just had relegation fear. None of my lineups were like so great that I was like, this will definitely stay in Division One. And frankly, you just never know the number of like random DNPs that happen. It wasn't worth the risk, in my opinion. So I assume I'm going to podium everything this week and not get the best score, you know, best prizes, because I wasn't in Division One. But it happens. It's just what we do. But yeah. Toby said limited game weeks left this spring, so I'm just running my in-season Division One lineups. Yeah, that's fine. I am a relegation hater, Mike Bastin. I hate getting relegated. Yeah. Philly Dilly, interesting. Division One Classic Premier League Super Rare seems quite a bit stronger than a week or two ago. I wonder if it's a bunch of in-season Division Ones who've backed off a bit. I just don't think we've had enough game weeks to figure out. Like, one might be stronger than the next. We also had a few Premier League game weeks without big teams, like Man City. Wasn't there one game week where it was like no Man City, no Arsenal, no Liverpool maybe, or something like that? Like, there were big teams that were missing, like multiple big teams that were missing. And so maybe those felt a little softer, and we'll see. Yeah, Mike, I don't win top prizes anyway either. So yeah. I do like the idea now that if you're promoted, you get a box. Like, they basically have aligned the promotion percentages with the box percentages. And I like that because, and who was I talking? I don't remember if I was saying this on the stream with Gator Guy. Is that where it was? Or just talking to him about it. But he made a progression bar joke. And I was like, you basically do have the progression now. That if you were in division, like if you're in rare and you start in division four, you can make it all the way to division one without winning a reward. But then your reward is greater because you're in division one, theoretically. And so you like progressed up and then got the big reward. But nope, I don't think there are participation boxes. So now, actually, it's funny you say that, Mike. So now if you don't, I guess I should just look at the announcement. But if you don't get promoted, you don't get a box. Does that sound about right? Please read our blog in case you missed our original announcement. Prize pools. Blah, blah, blah. Instead of limiting... Yeah, so now the top 25% get a box in classic competitions, and the top 25%, oh, I guess it's not 25%. So maybe you could get promoted, you could win a box but not get promoted. I guess that's okay. But if you get promoted, you're guaranteed to get a box now, and that feels better. Yeah. I think this is actually a better solution than like a rolling average or a monthly score to get, or monthly pro rel, because I think it ensures what they want, that you can benefit, you can move quickly, but you need to do well enough to move quickly. So Rare Malta, I'm waiting for the day you run one player from each of the teams of the badges behind you. This is ultimate glory for your son. So, to be honest, most of them are my daughters, actually. In fact, I think my son only did the River Plate one. Like, I've obviously run like Midtjylland and River Plate stacks. I don't own anyone from Lille. I don't know anyone from Milan. João Felix is the only one I own from Barcelona. I definitely don't have any Nantes players, but I did win a card last week playing Rennes against Nantes. And West Ham, I think I have a James Ward-Prowse limited. That's it. Oh, and Atletico Madrid. It's a funny one to be up there. I didn't even notice that. Anyway, that would be fun, though. Karupti said there will be way less boxes and higher scarcities with the new setup. It used to have a way higher chance than 25% before. But did it specifically say that those were for super rare, that it's for all competitions? Excuse me, all scarcities? Maybe it did. I guess it doesn't really specify. Yeah, I don't know. But again, if the higher scarcity competitions then become kind of a shit show because nobody can win, then we just give them then we give them feedback and they say, okay. Good point, Mike. Yeah, João Felix is a Atletico card. Yeah, and now plays for he's on Barcelona. He doesn't actually play for him much. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. Yeah. We got anything else? Yeah, Philly Dilly said they were wondering the same thing because there were references to Division 5, which obviously doesn't exist in Super Rare or Rare. But yeah. I do like the we will increase the percentage of lineups that it is rewarded, that are rewarded in the top divisions. So, because I think the frustration was this score that I got in D1 would have gotten me a reward in D2, and somebody who scored less than me in D2 won money and I didn't. And that doesn't make sense. You shouldn't score more points in the hardest division and be left out for nothing. Toby said, stretch this for 30 more minutes so it ends at kickoff for the fifth show. I don't think I have 30 more minutes in me. Do we even have 30 more minutes of stuff to talk about? Speaking of things to talk about, though, Sean and I have a topic for Monday. I joked last week that we had no topic, like 5 minutes before we started. And then this week I actually thought of one. Now I can't remember what it is. Try to go back here. Oh, well, I don't know. But so yeah, there will be a topic there. What? Let's see. Oh, so the last thing I'll touch on is, and I don't think this applies to the people who are watching this. Mike, I thought of it. I thought of this topic for Monday. Philly Dilly, when you think you have a topic the week before, does it ever survive over the weekend? So you know what's really funny is I just tried to scroll back in our DMs to see if I could remember or find what it was. And I was like, oh man, was it about playing in lower divisions and like why? And then they just fixed that. But I'll have to go back. Sometimes they don't survive, Philly Dilly. Anyway, I've talked to a few people who, and frankly, we did the show on Tuesday with Surfula and Gator, how they feel not like disengaged from So Rare, but they just kind of, it's not as all encompassing right now. And I've heard that from a few different people. And it's actually a couple different reasons of why they feel they're not as engaged. And like one of them is they are actually trying to like sell cards now and save money for August, which again is like more people who are saving money to spend more money in August. And others who are just like, yeah, I figured out what I want to do. And so I'm just letting my cards play. Actually, that's kind of something that happened with me that I made like significant changes to my gallery when the new competitions were announced. And I finally got it to a place where I thought I wanted it to be. There are always cards I can add. I also just ran out of money. And so I didn't want to put more in, even though I might still. But it finally felt like my gallery was close to what I wanted it to be, that I was just like, all right, I'm just going to like let the cards play. I'm going to stop degenning into cards late, even though I literally did it this week. But it's to a much lower extent. And I had like a number of injuries to players in my gallery, like very important players. And I was just like, you know what? I just got to like stay where I am. Hope that they're good for next season. But I think there were basically three responses that you could have had to the changes that they announced. It's like you could do nothing and kind of wait to see where your gallery was with the changes. You could have made wholesale changes and then see where it goes, or you just kind of like slowly are trying to figure it out. And I feel like the people who decided not to make any changes were the greatest affected by the changes. And it sounds a little weird, but like people who were doing well in the game previously they sort of announced all these changes. They didn't really change anything, and now they're not doing as well. Like, they were set up for the previous game, and they're now, you know, if you were perfectly set up for the previous game, the new one is very different. And so you're not, there's not going to be many galleries that are just like, oh yeah, I'm perfectly set up for this. And like, Sean could make the argument that his is, but like, he just has so many cards that, yeah, he's set up for it. But the, yeah, Philly, it's a weird balance between adjustments and patience. Yeah. It's, yeah, we'll see. Mickey said, Haber said something similar on this week's Ramble. He felt like he lost his edge, which was rare pro, and then feels less engaged after the change. I haven't listened to this week's Ramble, but that's a very clear example. Like, he was set up really well in the last, like, under the old rules. So they announced all these changes and he didn't really change much, and he's not winning nearly as much. And that obviously feels bad. But also, like, if you don't make any changes, like, it's not going to work out the same way. And so, like, I understand why he feels that way, but I think we all could also understand, like, why he's not having as much success. And there are plenty of people that applies to. And if moving your gallery from what it was to what it needs to be moving forward, if you don't like that, then I understand not playing anymore. I do think it's it's better to look at the game now and say, do I want to play that game? As opposed to, do I like the old system better? Because we're not going back to it. And so, like, looking back and hoping for something that is not going to happen, I think is really unhealthy. In the same way of, like, looking at your card values from 2 years ago, boy, it would be great if card prices were back there. And it's like, well, they're not there right now. So stop hoping that they'll get there and doing nothing, whereas you can do something about it. Sorry, it looks like I'm missing a book on the shelf. I don't even remember what book I took out. Surface, good morning. Toby said, Santi Cazorla definitely retiring this weekend because Laird bought him. I didn't even buy that card to play it. For those of you who don't know, I bought a Santi Cazorla jersey mint purely as a collectible because he's my all-time favorite player. Major NFT said, I know the removal of Cap 240 will hurt me the most, but I'm addicted to the threshold. I mean, we got a few more months left. But once that happens, you need to realize that if your gallery is perfectly set up for Cap 240, when that goes away, like, you're going to have to change something. You can't just keep playing those cards and expect to have the same level of success. It just won't happen. I guess I should go listen to the So Rare Ramble. Soramalta, not acting quickly can sometimes be a hindrance and can sometimes be costly. It is entirely dependent on circumstance. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think there's a lot of, and this isn't about Haber, because he's actually much more in tune to this, but there are, like, a lot of people in this game who do some sort of strategy or buy certain cards, and when it doesn't work, they just hope that the game adjusts somehow so that it does work. And that's not going to happen. Like, Sora is not here to rescue all of us from our bad decisions. Yeah. That's all. I guess I still have the latest Make It a Double Double to catch up on, which ironically is with Chris from the Sora Ramble. And then I should listen. I guess the Sora Ramble was first. They were talking about Make It a Double Double. I don't know. But I got some podcasts to catch up on. And so I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go take a walk. I basically sat for 2 hours watching Quinny while doing my lineups, and then had to do my baseball lineups, and then got ready for this stream. And so I need to get out. I need to get out and walk around and listen to a podcast. So I'm going to do that. So yeah, thank you to everybody for coming. If you have not liked the stream yet, let me see how many people we got here. 72 as of right now, 26 likes. Come on, guys. Come on. This is why content creators stop doing content. I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not. Maybe they do. I don't know. But more likes is always appreciated. So yeah, thank you everybody for that. We have a great show on Monday with Sean of a topic I can't remember, but I promise we will have a good one unless this new update killed it. And then I'll have to think of something else. I'll also be back with Harry for the game week preview on Monday to talk about this this midweek that we have in contenders. So yeah, I hope all the DNPs are not with you and with other people for this game week so that we all have a chance. And may the decisives forever be in your favor. Good luck, y'all.